Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, animals, robots, androids, zombies, welcome to the Side Quest, your weekly journey into the video game world, courtesy of sidequesting.com and Men's Health Magazine. Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm Dolly Domofsky. I am one of the hosts. Also joining me is I guess you're my co-pilot for like the majority of these episodes, Aaron Scratty Bones Kelly.
I am sick.
And he is sick. If you hear Aaron at all during this podcast, which you definitely will, he's going to have some sort of tissue paper shoved up his nose.
I've got it right here.
He is ready to go. He's ready to go. Also joining us in a return performance is Sam Dixon, who is, I think you weren't on our show last week, were you, or were you?
I don't think I was on last week because that's the one that got rescheduled.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, how's it going, Sam?
Good. Been staring at computer screens for this entire week. Can't wait to do it for another hour with you boys.
You want to stare at something interesting while you're staring at this computer screen?
Is there going to be something cool on that green screen?
No, it doesn't work in Google Hangouts, unfortunately. There's a bug where the cameras won't stay on. Look in the old Discord and look at the user list in the staff section. Tell me what you see there.
I just closed that program.
Oh. Well, we renamed someone.
That's really drawing this bit out though, because you got to open that back up.
Yeah, and I'm in coding, so don't worry about it. It'll be nice and fast.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll leave it to the audience to guess.
Yeah.
The staff section.
If you go down to offline, you'll see somebody is offline that used to have a name under the double J.
Oh.
Tom.
You're not feeling it?
You're not? Yeah.
Maybe I just don't understand.
I don't really think it's anything to understand. I've known for very stupid comments that don't have any basis in reality and don't go anywhere, and that's one of them.
TJ Lethal, Tom Johnson.
He's the limit that forever.
It's TJ Lethal. If you guys hear him, see him, bump into him at E3, remember, TJ Lethal. He's actually changed his name to TJ Lethal. It's not even Tom Johnson. It's just legally changed his name. We're going to talk video games. Let's talk about stuff we've been playing. I'll go first, because as usual, I haven't been playing a ton. We've been selling our house and doing a garage sale. By the way, I managed to sell old copies of Call of Duty and Uncharted 4 for like $8. And you can buy these games. These are all games you could buy for, I think I almost ripped my eyeball out a second ago. These are all games you can buy at like used stores. I think even GameStop sells these games for like $5. And I managed to hustle people for like $7, $8, $9. So I was proud of myself. Anyways, that's not a game that I was playing. But I was playing Yoshi's Crafted World. I finished that bad boy up. That is a solid, fun game for the Switch. And there's a lot to do in that game. It's not over long. Maybe 8 hours at most, somewhere around there. But I played it before. I've talked about it. It's still really good. Finally put that bad boy to bed. Went through the Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes DLC. And the more I play that game, the less I like of it. So I think it's actually coming to PS4 now and PC as well, which I think all the No More Heroes games came, or one of them did. But yeah, it's not a great game. It's not even a 7. I'd say it's probably like around, if we scored games, it's a solid 5. So, yeah, I got that sitting on my completed shelf. And then got back into some Dragon Ball Fighters. So I want to plow through that single player portion of that game, because I've had that for the Switch for a while, and I figure, you know, maybe it's about time I complete that guy. So I'm in the mode right now where I'm packing up shit for my house for my move. And I don't want to pack up video games, because if I do, I just won't play them. They'll sit in the box, and it'll be a whole level deeper of my backlog that I won't get to. So I figured I'm going to put a hell of a lot of hours into gaming over the next few weeks here, and then just start selling games like crazy as much as I can whenever I complete one. So Yoshi's Woolly World or Crafted World, Travis Strikes Again, and Dragon Ball FighterZ will be that'll be the next one, because I'm doing the single player and a bunch of online. I've mentioned it before. That's a good fighting game. That's a real good fighting game.
You playing as Bardock?
I am playing as Gohan, actually. I really like Gohan, surprisingly. So I'm maining him at the moment. But yeah, it's good. I like that game. Good stuff. Anything else I've been playing? I've been Pokemon sleeping my way through I think that's basically it, actually.
Is that game out?
Pokemon Sleep? No.
Okay. I don't know anything about Pokemon, but
no. Oh, I picked up a bunch of games. Devolver Digital has a sale today on the Switch. So I picked up a bunch from. I play Castlevania Collect, which is it's perfect. The Castlevania games, you forget how great they are, but they are great games. So pick those up, pick that collection up. That's it. That's all I've been playing. How about you, Sam? What have you been playing, dude? My dude.
You know, not too much, but I have been checking out, Dauntless.
Oh, all right. Tell me about this.
Yeah, which is, the free-to-play, Monster Hunter game, if you want to put it that way, that Epic, is hosts on their platform. It's an Unreal Engine. It's got crossplay, between all the consoles and stuff like that. And yeah, I mean, it's basically streamlined, simplified Monster Hunter. And I say simplified, but it's just different. It's not as, like, you know, they haven't had like 8 games to kind of establish like its systems and stuff like that. Like, this is just sort of a shot at making that style of game, and so far it's not too bad.
That's everybody I've spoken to about the game is enjoying it, oddly enough.
I find that game, just its existence as a console game, very funny, because like I feel like that game's been playable on PC for, I want to say, like 2 years now. It's been in early access and all that,
and every PAX East ever,
and every PAX East, and it just seems like nobody has heard of it, and now that it's on console, people are playing it and loving it.
They had giant signage for this thing over at PAX this year. It was all over the place. But yeah, now it's like it feels like it appeared out of nowhere, because no one was really reporting on it. And they've been doing their darndest to send us press emails and stuff, but no one's been talking about it.
Yeah, I had checked it out at PAX, not this last year we were there, but the previous year, and it was rough. And, like, to be fair, at the time, I wasn't, you know, I'm not sure if Monster Hunter World had been out yet. I'm not really sure I was into monster hunting at the time, but I just remember it not playing great. Yeah, I've played, you know, a couple hours now, and it just seems like they have their combat system, like, flowing and having it clicking in the same way that Monster Hunter World did for me. And I think maybe that's what we're seeing, is we're just seeing a lot of people that now that it's in front of them and they have the availability to play it. Because I think it was in a closed beta. I think it was one of those ones where you bought, like, a Founders Pack, and then you were in the beta and you could play it. So like now that it's kind of open and free, like these people are getting experience with it. I know we're bringing in people that didn't commit to buying Monster Hunter World. They're finally giving it a try. If anything, I think it might boost the sales of Monster Hunter and that expansion that they're releasing, just because there's so many people that are now interested in that game type, because there's finally like a free alternative to try it out.
Yeah, totally. And apparently it plays like super good.
Yeah, I think the, like, town, the, like, you know, I'm not sure what they call it, the village, the Tower of Destiny, if you're used to that game, like, the area where you accept your quests and stuff. Like, the frame rate's kind of rough on a base PS4, but on PC it's fine, and once you're actually in the game, it seems to be flowing okay. The one day I think they were having server issues, I had, like, a little bit of, like, input drop every once in a while, but... that was really just the first day, and I haven't experienced it since then.
Yeah, I had to laugh that first day, because they were having server issues, because they had, like, I want to say it was between 4 to 6 million people trying to play it.
Holy cow.
But it's cross-server, so there were, like, they were people coming on, like, new platforms that were trying to log into the same servers that the people on PC were playing that game on. But then the defenders like the people who were like, well, come on, like, you know, of course there's going to be server issues. It's the first day. It's a new game. I'm like, no, it's not. No, those servers have been live.
It's an old game. Yeah.
But I just thought it was funny. But apparently, they smoothed out within 24 hours, right?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that's what the general consensus is. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fine. And I there was something weird. I guess some people were like blue screening here, you know, every once in a while on PS4. But I think that's kind of to be expected, especially as we step into this more cross-play laden world, and you've got these systems communicating.
It would be really funny if, now that games are becoming more and more like cross-platform, console, like, just had actual like Windows blue screens for some reason.
Some kernel of Windows, the BIOS.
How did you get in? Now I got Windows on my PlayStation. I didn't want this. Never asked for this.
It's all Epic Game Store. It's not just Windows anymore. Okay, cool. Yeah, Dauntless is something that I'm actually, it's on my list of games to try out this summer. So it's a kind of a nice slow time right now with game releases. There are little ones here and there, but definitely the time to try out some of these newer games. So, okay, Dauntless. Anything else besides Dauntless?
Nothing too much. Oh, well, actually, yeah. I'm not sure how much I really want to talk about it, because I did technically apply for a review code, even though I didn't get it. So I was one of the lucky people. I guess lucky, if you want to put it.
Lucky several thousand, apparently.
Yeah, I received my copy of Persona Q2 early. And it's a Persona Q game. It's interesting. I think I didn't play the original Persona Q, so I can't really compare it to that. I do know that that game is more of a more traditional Shin Megami Tensei designed game than the Persona games. Mm-hmm. And this one, you're creating your own map. And the fighting system is changed a little bit. If you're used to Persona 5, or that Persona system, it is changed a little bit. There's like, not stances. There's like a, you know, like a front line and a back line. So there's some weird combat situations and some attacks that can splash to the back line, through the front line, or, you know, splash from the back line up. So there's some stuff that you can work on and put together with teams there. The difficulty that I'm having with it right now is it seems to have really weird difficulty spikes. Like, it almost assumes that the player is not going to be able to, like, push through these dungeons as quickly as maybe you might be possible in doing. Like, you're supposed to get more combats or something. But I will be doing fine forever, and then I'll fight, like, a mid-boss. Or the problem I have now is the boss of the first, I believe they call them labyrinth or dungeon. It's just monumentally harder than anything that's going on. It's not... The mechanics are harder because I understand how to win the fight. I'm just not strong enough to win the fight right now. And grinding is not really something that I'm used to in a Persona game, at least on a normal setting. So I'm kind of struggling with that.
Yeah, I think that was a big complaint of the first Persona Q game. It just required a lot of grinding. But those games are based on the like the Etrian Odyssey style of games, mm-hmm. and I think those games are all like very grindy as well.
Mm-hmm.
What are the characters like? What's the plot of Q2?
Good. Actually, I think the story's really cool. So like basically, it's a like movie theater setup where you and your gang of Persona characters sort of get like sucked into this movie world, and the dungeons are just these films. So you go into these dungeons and you progress the story of these films. And of course there's like a villain and a hero and all types of stuff like that. And I've only seen one movie so far, but I assume that's the premise and that we're going to be going into more movies in different styles. So like this first one's kind of like a superhero movie. And like, that's kind of cool. I also think like they really, I don't want to say get fan service-y with some of the dialogue, because it's not like you'd have to play the Persona games to understand the dialogue. They just get – I think all the characters are a little bit more playful than they are in their main series. Like, Persona can get oddly serious at times, and I don't really see this game going that way. I think everything's kind of be kind of, like, lighthearted and goofy. I mean, they even made jokes about, the Persona 3 characters or whatever – shoot themselves in the head to activate their persona, and they've already made like 3 jokes about that. And we've only one Persona 3 character.
Do they get? Do they get like internet meme-y with it? Like for example, the main character from Persona 4. In subsequent releases of Persona 4 stuff, they made him like into kind of like a playful womanizer, almost based on a single scene from the original game.
No, I don't think so. I haven't seen, well, I haven't seen actually any characters from 4 yet.
Are they in there? Did they let them go?
I know, I can tell for everybody who's played the original Persona 5, they have doubled down on Futaba being a meme lord. Hmm. So, like, that's still definitely in there.
Yeah, I guess apparently they're in there, so you'll run into them soon enough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it's. I mean, it's good. It's so far. I was thinking about dropping the difficulty down to easy because I'm on normal. I've never really had an issue with a Persona game on normal, but I kind of just want to get through it for the story. As everybody knows, I'm a huge advocate for the sort of Persona spinoff series. Yeah. So
the dancing games.
Yeah, the dancing games. Persona 4 Arena is a really good game too. I just suck at fighting games. I think it's worth it, especially if you're a Persona fan. Find your 3DS from whatever cupboard you stuffed it in. it's still there to offer you a decent game.
Oh, speaking of 3DS, I just started playing. I'm jumping back in with another game. My office. It's gonna sound great. My office bathroom game is Luigi's Mansion for the 3DS. I realized I had bought that from Best Buy and like some price matching deal when it was like $20 somewhere. So I was cleaning out shit around my house and found my 3DS. I'm like, oh yeah, I still have one of these things. And I'm like, oh look, and Luigi's Mansion is in there. I guess I should play this game. So started playing that. I realized I did not like the controls of the game. It's the original one that they put on the GameCube game they put on the 3DS. So, which is not a bad game. I'm like maybe an hour in, and it's not a long game either. It's only like a 5 or 6 hour game total. So, probably like halfway through. But having a 3DS. I remember at one point when the 3DS was my favorite gaming device because that's you'd have it with you, and the graphics and visuals and gameplay was. Good enough for being on the go and, just playing game whenever you want to, but that's been replaced by the Switch for sure. 3DS, rest in peace.
I never owned one.
Yeah, I don't think you need to anymore. I mean, there are a hell of a lot of great games, but...
Yeah, and they're a nice little system. I somehow own 3.
You own 3 or you've owned 3?
Oh, no, I own 3. I still currently own 3. It's Nintendo has a weird habit of their handhelds. I don't even get like a newer version. Like we have one of the new 3DSs.
Okay.
But I have my like original that Zelda one they released for like a Black Friday like way back in the day. We've got like just one of the normal XLs.
Uh-huh.
And then we were one of those people that scooted in on that like $100 new 3DS Black Friday deal that was like two or three years ago.
Yeah, that's nice.
Those systems are...
How big is the XL?
Pretty big, actually. The screen's maybe not close to the Switch, but like I don't think it's like any issue to see games on.
Would you say it holds itself larger than a Joy-Con?
Oh goodness!
There's a lot of games on there, and if it's big enough, I might buy one. Is all I'm saying.
I mean, it's not going to be comfortable regardless.
Not for you. Yeah, Aaron, not for you.
God damn it, Nintendo.
I have the, let's see, we have a 2DS in the house, like the wedge. We got one of those for my daughter when that thing first came out. And then I had the original 3DS, which I traded up for a 3DS XL. Then I traded that back down to a new 3DS. And then I traded that finally in for a new 2DS. And that new 2DS is, it's the best of the consoles, I think. It doesn't have the 3D in it. So the visuals aren't as great, but it's a hell of a great little device. It has the nub already on there. So it, yeah, I would recommend picking one of those bad boys up. Sorry about that. I was yawning like crazy. It's one of those days. Okay, anything else you've been playing? You had a good list there.
Oh, sorry. I forgot we were still talking about me, about what we were playing. No.
No.
Yeah, no. That's it, as far as I know.
You're like, oh, well, I'll end it there. What about you, Aaron? What have you been playing, my dude?
Not a lot. I'm kind of in between like review projects right now.
Yep. Okay.
So I've just been playing RimWorld. Really, I just kick that game on every day. Every time I turn that game on, I start over, start a new base. Play until I pass out. Play while I'm doing other stuff. Have it on like on the side monitor. That's pretty much it.
It's kind of nice. We need more games like that where you can just throw it onto a secondary monitor and let it, you know, play in the background because. I don't know. I don't have a second monitor for my laptop. I mean, I do, but it didn't really function very well. And I'd love to have it for my gaming devices. But
I just checked. I think I've put 100 hours into that since the last time I mentioned it on the show.
Okay.
So.
The nice thing is I can stream the PS4 to my Mac and my PC here. So. Maybe I can put it up on a secondary monitor, put some games on there. But cool. RimWorld is always good. Yours is, you're usually playing like the biggest most games out of any of us, Aaron. So we save you for last. And this week you're like, no, I'm just playing RimWorld.
Yeah, I mean, I could tell that story that I told you before we hit record.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. Go ahead.
So you might find this funny, Sam. So I resubbed to Final Fantasy 14.
Right.
Because the expansion's coming up.
He's back.
But. Have you played Final Fantasy 14?
I mean, yeah, but like for like a week or two, and then that was it.
So you remember the retainers, like the inventory bags you get basically that are NPCs or whatever?
Yeah.
So you get two of those, and you can pay extra subscription per month to get extra retainers, which is useful if you like play a lot of the gathering classes and, you know, use the auction house a lot. So I have two extras. I get a total of four retainers if I pay $2 extra on my subscription per retainer per month. And, like, I'm fine with that. I could have up to eight extra, but, you know, I don't want to go over $20 a month for a subscription. So I get two. And I went to resub, and the way, because I don't have a credit card or anything like that, I buy a prepaid card to buy Square Enix's Krista, which is their micro currency or whatever, like the real-time currency, and then use that to pay my subscription. And I did the math wrong. So I resubbed to Final Fantasy 14 and went to resub to both my retainers and resubbed to one and then had 49 less Krista than I needed to resub to the other retainer. And the lowest amount you can buy Krista in is like $5. And the lowest prepaid card you can get is $25. So I would have to go out and pay another $25 to buy $5 worth of stuff to get everything I need when I play that game. Because a bunch of my gear is on this other retainer, which I don't have. So I haven't booted the game up since I resubbed. I've just resubbed and not opened it.
Awesome, man.
Yeah. It's just sitting there and it's just like, fuck. I might just buy that card. I might just do it.
I can't. See, that's the problem, man. I can't do MMOs because if I spend any money on a game, I'm, like, committed to playing that game for at least, like, a set number of hours.
Same here.
And, like, if I'm going to pay $12 a month to play a game, and a game, that's the only game I'm playing. And I just don't like play games like that. I just don't like to play games like that, I guess. It's,
I mean, I'm like that. Like, if I buy a game that I've never played before, I'm like that. Like, I just threw $80 on, like, this fucking new release. Like, I have to play it for a little bit unless I really hate it. But, I mean, I've got 13,000 hours in Final Fantasy 14, I think. Like, across every platform that I play it on. So it's just, like, if I boot that game up once over the next 30 days and, like, go and run in and do a little something, refamiliarize myself with the game, at this point it's just like, yeah, okay, I got my money's worth. Which seems very wasteful, but, like, otherwise, it's not like I'm playing, at least to this point, like, since I've resubbed to that game and not launched it, I haven't really played anything else anyway. So it's not like I'm wasting my time not playing that game, playing another game. I'm just not playing that game and not really playing anything else either.
I hear you.
That works.
I blame E3.
Oh, E3. Maybe we should talk about E3 a little bit. Maybe it's a good segue.
Do you have our list of predictions?
I do. Talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to pull out. I'm going to get the list over here.
I didn't say.
I didn't start the jam. I'm going to go grab the list.
Yeah. Okay. What's up, Sam? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good.
You going to E3?
I'm not going to E3 because I am bad at planning and would love to have gone, but can't go. Dally's not here, but I need to check your temperature on...
It's high. I'm sick right now.
Yeah, yes. I need to check the temperature on Death Stranding. Did you get to see that weird wet trailer?
Yeah.
Scale from 1 to 10, how Kojima do you think this game's going to be?
Oh, List in hand.
It's a 10, absolutely, and I still don't know what that game is.
I'm so excited. I've not seen a trailer for a while where I've seen the trailer and I was like, good, you don't have to tell me a single thing. I will be there day one.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
So Die Hardman. Is that his name or is he German and his title is The Hardman?
The Hardman.
I have no idea.
Is it like Die Bart Die The Bart The? Remember that from The Simpsons?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about that game. I don't know what's going on. I feel like that game's gonna come out and it's not gonna be what anybody thinks it's gonna be, and it's gonna be some real simplistic game in the end. But
it'll be a battle royale game is what we're all saying.
And everybody will be like, well, yeah, this is a Kojima game, so it was brilliant. I'm worried that this will be the game that Kojima puts out, and people finally realize that, hey, Kojima's not that great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Kojima, I love Metal Gear, Dana Machine, son, but that wasn't even a Kojima game, I don't think, that quote came from, that was Platinum.
Ah, he deals with Nano Machines.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm stoked for that. I never go out for Kojima games like that quickly, or ever. But this one, I'm thinking, it's just so fucking crazy that I think I have to go in right away in this fucking thing. It's always been, I never know what's going on with this game. I have no idea what the plot is. He literally got Norman Reedus in there because he's a Norman Reedus fan. And so he built this game around Norman Reedus and Mads Mikkelsen. He's like, I've got to make a game with these two guys. Let's just create it. So,
Kojima talks to people, and people have no idea who he is or what he's about.
Yeah.
Like Norman Reedus, and then they come out of a room like 3 hours later, and they're like, "This man's a genius. He did it to Norman Reedus, and Norman Reedus has been like his promo dude. He's been his hype man.
He's been shook ever since.
And like Guillermo del Toro, same thing. Like Guillermo del Toro coming out of nowhere, and he's just like, this man's a genius. This is gonna be the greatest game in the world. It's just like, what the fuck are these people talking about? I almost want this game to be bad.
But it's so bad that it's genius, is what you're saying.
Yeah. What about you, Sam? Are you excited for Death Stranding?
Way too excited, I think, is the problem. Like, really? I was thinking about it all today, and I didn't even watch the trailer again or anything. I was just like, man, isn't it so rad that three-wheeler snapped into, like, a motorcycle? That was so rad. Wasn't it so rad that the dude pulled down a ladder, and then Norman Reedus climbed that ladder? That was so rad. I don't know, man. I felt like a 3-year-old today, just so excited about like everything I saw on that trailer.
The collector's edition comes with the baby.
Fucking baby
in the pot, and I want
it. And it's so dumb because I I'm there day one, Kojima. Like, I'll buy a special edition, but I don't want a child in my house.
I will not buy a special edition. Like, that's not me. Like, I don't buy special editions of games. I really want that fucking pod baby. I think it would be very funny to have.
You know, I thought about it, and what I think I'm going to do is, instead of buying a special edition of this game, go spend like, I don't know, like $20 in the Kojima store, which is just his company's logo on just about anything that you can think of.
Yeah. That's Death Stranding. It has a release date, November 7th, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
November 8th, 2019? November 8th, 2019.
November 8th.
Did any of us guess that?
No, none of us actually had Death Stranding on our predictions.
I think I had it in my list of predictions I was pulling from, and yeah. I couldn't remember if it was one of the ones I used. That's why I was wondering.
No, the ones you had were they're all Final Fantasy related, basically.
Yeah, that's
Final Fantasy VII release date, Final Fantasy VIII remake, and then the next Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, I had Death Stranding last year. Yeah. I called it. I called that there was going to be a teaser last year, and then it was right at the end. Yeah, I don't know what that game is. Have you seen the necklace in the Kojima store? That's just a bunch of like weird nonsense math symbols.
No.
it's like pseudo dog tags, except each dog tag has like some weird formula on it.
Of course.
Because. Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll probably review that game.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. It'll be another dad game that you review. Because there's a baby in there. So it's got to be a dad game, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I guess since we're doing the news now, I've got a bunch of little stuff. I'll hit the two bigger stories first.
Sure.
So Larian Studios, they're the studio that makes Divinity. They make the Divinity series,
yeah, they
the
are.
Sin series. Somebody noticed that their homepage changed to like a stylized 3, like a Roman numeral 3 on their homepage. It doesn't link to anything and there's nothing else. And nobody knows what it means because it could either be Divinity 3 because that game hasn't come out. It could be Divinity Original Sin 3 because Original Sin 2 is really good and that game could use a sequel. Some people are saying it could be Baldur's Gate 3.
So they've, the deeper story behind this is that the logo on the homepage, I think if you click around, it leads to a video teaser. And if you copy that teaser and paste it on another browser window, then it has like a bunch of metadata. And metadata is Baldur's Gate logo, Baldur's Gate logo, Baldur's Gate logo. So that's where they're thinking Baldur's Gate is from.
Well, I guess there was that. But when I was researching this, the other thing that people were... It was way less concrete than that. People were saying that there was a listing elsewhere that mentioned Baldur's Gate, completely independent of this, and that the logo looks like the Baldur's Gate font. And then they were saying that on top of that, Wizards of the Coast is releasing or just released a Baldur's Gate source book.
That's true, right? Right. Okay.
So they were thinking maybe it's a big Baldur's Gate push, and now Larian is doing the next Baldur's Gate, which could be cool.
Yep.
A Baldur's Gate game in the style of Original Sin 2. Like,
I mean, BioWare is not doing anything.
No. Obsidian's busy. Who else makes those types of, like, CRPGs? I don't think anybody else. Who made Pillars of Eternity? Was that Obsidian?
I think so, yeah.
So, like, they're busy. So, yeah. Anyway, so that's that. And I don't know. Baldur's Gate 3 in that style of game could be very cool because those games are wild. And like really deep mechanically.
They are like the, I knew of Baldur's Gate well before I knew of the Elder Scrolls games. Baldur's Gate was the PC RPG series. And there were only two of them, you know.
There was Baldur's Gate and there was Icewind Dale. And those were both like the games everybody knew. And then like, I don't think I'd even heard of Elder Scrolls until Oblivion.
Yep.
And that was on a console.
Yeah.
The other one's kind of sad. So World's Adrift is shutting down.
Yeah. That had a cool premise to that game. I remember seeing it a bunch of times.
Yeah, I wrote a preview for it. Mm-hmm. I wrote an early impressions for it. That game has like a physics based grappling system on top of chop things down and build airships and explore floating islands of ruins thing in an MMO world type thing going on. That was very cool on the surface, but then, I mean, like, why? Like, what are you doing? Like, it's cool once you play it, but then, like, once you kind of clue into the idea that, like, oh, I'm just going to go check out this next island. Oh, this island looks cool, too.
So your preview, your early impressions for this were written on May 26, 2018. So yep. Exactly 1 year after your impressions, the game gets shut down. So good job.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. I'm a prophet. And the other thing that may have impacted this, and this is total speculation on my part, is that this was one of those games that would have been impacted by that unpleasantness between Unity and Spatial OS.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Which didn't end up happening, as far as I remember. I think Unity backpedaled on their TOS change. Mm-hmm. But that would have been one of those games. And then I guess they just didn't have the player count to justify running like an MMO-style game. Which sucks, because like the grappling in that game was amazing. There's a video out there somewhere of me and a few people flying airships like in synchronization, and then you just like see that from somebody else's stream, you can just see this little dot like doing circles around an airship, and it's me on a grappling hook building up speed to launch myself between everybody's airships through the sky. It was amazing.
Yeah, you posted some of that in your hands-on.
Oh, did I? Yeah, that's awesome.
There's a video in there.
What else we got? Final Fantasy 14. They hit 16 million users ahead of the upcoming expansion. That's not concurrent users; it's lifetime users. So it's like 16 million accounts. But like that's big. Like people are those numbers are still going up. So that game.
How many? Do we ever know how many users were? In Final Fantasy XI, because that game is still going, right? Final Fantasy XI is still...
It's still live. There's no more content.
Yeah, it's still live.
I don't think those numbers have ever been released. I don't think it was that many.
No, probably not. But it's great to see 14 after... I mean, I still remember their big reboot of the game after, like, a year or whatever of...
mediocrity,
right? Yeah. They announced it at... Did they announce it at, like, Gamescom or something like that?
E3. I don't think it was at anything. I think like they just announced that they were shutting it down, and then then they were just like, we're gonna fix it and send it live again. That might have been at Gamescom, actually. You might be right about that. Mm-hmm. That sounds right. Or TGS, maybe
something like that. Maybe, yeah, one of those. I remember somebody on Sony stage bringing it up.
Yeah, I just think that's interesting. So I played 11 and I continue to play 14. Mm-hmm. And in 11, I didn't play it right away. It took a really long time to, because I was playing it on a PlayStation with like the hard drive, and like the PS2 with like the big hard drive bay where they had to get a hard drive, and then the only way you could play was with a credit card. They didn't have time cards back then, so trying to finagle that was a real pain in the ass. So by the time I could play Final Fantasy XI, like everybody had already like been out there grinding levels, and like they were gone. And that Final Fantasy XI for me was a lot of running around very pretty environments, never seeing another player. And in Final Fantasy 14, I could boot that game up right now and start a new character, and it doesn't matter what zone I would start in. I could run out of the city or run around the city, and there'd be players everywhere. Not even endgame players. Like, you'll see new players just run around, killing stuff, yelling in chat, how do I heal? Help. Use cure, stupid. Autocomplete in case you speak a different language. So anyway, that game, that expansion's coming up in July, I think, maybe.
Final Fantasy XI, I just looked up some stats. That game lasted like 14 years.
Yeah, it did.
And they finally gave it the old, you know, goodbye back in 2015 with the last of the updates. So shit, I mean, this game could 14 is way more popular. I can see this lasting like a full 15 years as well.
Forever.
Yeah, forever.
That's right. Here's two quick ones. Beyond Good and Evil 2 live stream is going to be on June 5th, and it won't
be. It's not coming to E3.
Bethesda confirms no Elder Scrolls 6 or Starfield at E3.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that, but I kind of figured that much.
Yep. And then the last story I have on here, Fallout Shelter has a sequel. It's a PvP-focused sequel that was developed in China and is not coming to the West.
Oh, shit.
So there was a YouTube, some player with, I guess, access to a Chinese app store or something, saw it and recorded a bunch of video and made a big YouTube video about it. And somebody on Twitter asked Pete Hines about it, and he said, quote, it was made in China for China.
Hmm.
So there's a sequel out there, and it has PvP and team-based activities, and we can't play it.
Well, there's all, I mean, that they during that Pokemon press conference the other day, they also mentioned like a couple games coming to China, which are enhanced versions of their, you know, their Western and Japanese counterparts. So it's China's getting all the cool shit, apparently, except for PUBG. They ain't getting that.
They you wave at people when they kill you in their Chinese.
You wave at people.
I think you vanish.
What else you got? Because I got
that's it. Nope, okay, that's it. That's all the news.
Let's talk Call of Duty. They finally they finally revealed Modern Warfare today, which
bold
is
new direction for the series.
Yeah, it's a bold new direction. They're calling it a reboot. I know people that have I know Jake Baldino and a bunch of other folks were tweeting after the reveal about some of their hands-on impressions from the last, I think last week or the week before. it certainly looks good because they finally switched over to a new engine for Call of Duty. So that's going to be beneficial. There will be growing pains, I have a feeling, with that new engine, but it's finally new. And it looks a little bit slower, a little bit more tactical than the previous Call of Duties, which were just kind of run, gun, slide, jump, run, gun, slide, jump. Even that World War II one, which I did like, was still a bit on the faster side. And you know, the whole go into a room, shoot up a bunch of folks, go into the next room. This looks like it actually has a little more methodology to how you progress. And they are including a full single-player experience, finally. You know, it's been a couple of years, so it's good. They're calling it a reboot of the Modern Warfare series. So it's not a sequel. It's not a spinoff. It's not a side project. It's not none of that stuff. It is a full reboot of the series. That's why a lot of the characters that we've seen in the videos who are dead in the mainline three Modern Warfare games are alive in this one. So, but then again, when did Modern Warfare 3 come out? That was like 2012, right? Modern Warfare 3 was 2011. So it's been 8 years since Modern Warfare came out. So rebooting it is, I think it's not a bad idea, but it's going to be all confusing as hell because they just released Modern Warfare Remastered on, a couple years ago.
I mean, I don't think it's as confusing as people are making out to be because you have to consider in recent history, we have new Star Trek movies that take place in the rebooted Kelvin timeline.
True.
And we have Star Trek Discovery, which takes place in the Prime timeline. So, you know, people are smart. People can figure it out. Call of Duty Star Trek.
So I did just a cursory search for Modern Warfare on for video games on Amazon. And the games that are named Modern Warfare, you have Modern Warfare for the PS4, Modern Warfare Trilogy, for the Xbox 360, Infinite Warfare with Modern Warfare, and then Modern Warfare 2, 3, Modern Warfare Collection, Modern Warfare 2, a lot of Modern Warfares, and there's the original Modern Warfare.
So you know what my biggest gripe about this is? Everyone was talking about how like, oh, they're just calling it Modern Warfare again, it's going to be confusing. Like, it's not going to make sense. They wasted a golden opportunity to call this next one Modern Warfare.
I know. I think I've even brought that up before. Change the A to a 4, and you're all set. You can call it Modern Warfare, but change the A to a 4. Or you could have called it Modern Warfare : Call of Duty. But, anyways, it looks decent. I mean, it looks good. I always wait till a Modern Warfare game comes out. I wasn't a big fan of the last two Black Ops games, 3 and 4, I liked World War II, WW2. Smash Brothers has VR.
Yeah.
Who saw that coming?
Yeah, that's bizarre. Sam, why don't you bring this? Talk about this one.
I mean, I don't really know much about it other than apparently now you can use the VR goggles while you're playing. Basically, any mode that's not online. I think it has to be a single player mode, since you're the only one whose Googlers are going to be able to see the damn thing. And I think you can watch CPU battles and stuff like that back. So it's obviously not like this is a niche, dumb feature to check out once or twice. It's not like, oh boy, it has VR support. Here's a selling feature to get the VR or Smash Brothers. Mm-hmm. Now it's just, it's a fun, nifty mode. It's like the same thing as being able to drive the cardboard car parts around for Mario Kart. It's just, it's there. It's a feature. I don't think we're ever going to see a dedicated, like, you know, oh, this is a game or this is a, well, we might see like a DLC experience type thing, but I don't think we're ever going to see a game where it's like VR is 100% important for this game, is the only way to play this game, without them releasing some version of a VR headset that's not Labo, if that makes sense. Like a more, like, you know, oh, I just slide it in the side here and I don't have to have my hands up here like a dumb idiot to play everything.
I totally agree. It there are actually VR games coming, more than coming to the Switch, since Unity just announced that it's released like a VR development kit for Switch. So that's a thing, I guess, now. So, yeah, if you guys are developing games in Unity, go ahead and make them Switch compatible, I guess. But they have what game is it that's coming out? It's a game called Spice and Wolf, which is a VR game. Is coming to PS4, Switch, and Oculus Quest this summer.
Based on the anime?
Spice and Wolf.
Manga?
Yeah, it looks like it, yeah. Developer, Spice and Tales. How do you make a video game out of that? What's that?
So how do you make a video game out of that?
I don't know. It looks like you're petting people.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Why not? It's a Fox girl, so.
Yep. So that's coming. The Switch is not a VR-friendly system because it just doesn't have the firepower. So I'm really curious to see how it does anything. But one thing that does have a lot of firepower, potentially, is, speaking of E3 stuff, a couple stories here, actually. You mentioned Beyond Good and Evil 2, but The Avengers is going to be shown. That's the Square Enix jam. Crystal Dynamics is going to be shown at E3 this year, and they're making a big old deal about it. So
4-player co-op.
That's the rumor. 4-player co-op, Destiny-ish. That's the rumor I heard, was the whole kind of Destiny feel, but there's only kind of a set amount of Avengers characters. So
what if they make Tony Stark's AI in his suit voiced by Peter Dinklage?
Oh, that would be fantastic, because Peter Dinklage was in the Avengers films. He was in Infinity War, wasn't he? Still,
that's true. He was the dwarf.
Yep. So that's coming. That'll be kind of the major point of Square Enix's presentation. I'm trying to see, anybody have Avengers? Nobody had Avengers on our prediction list. I don't think anybody actually believed that it was gonna show up. Microsoft has 14, their press conference is going to feature 14 titles from Xbox Game Studios. So that includes a lot of the new ones like Obsidian and whoever else they scooped up. But they
all got three Gears games.
All three Gears games, Halo. You got 1, 2, 3 Gears games, Halo, Forza.
Halo, you got the Master Chief Collection coming to PC.
Yeah, they got Master Chief Collection coming to PC. So you got there's half of them right there. Stuff we already know. But there's definitely gonna be a few surprises.
Scalebound is back, baby.
Scalebound is back. I will say one surprise that we don't have is that I totally lost my train of thought. You already brought up the Beyond Good and Evil. There was something else I was going to say, but whatever. Oh, Anthem is not going to be a part of the EA live stream. That game is crashing and burning. They just announced their whole kind of Cataclysm event, but yeah, I don't know. That whole game was a Cataclysm at this point. Hey, it's a good one. That's it. That's all I got news-wise. Anything else? Anybody have any other news? Nobody?
What do you got, Sam? You got news? Tell me about your news. What do you got?
I don't have any news other than I'm super excited for this E3, guys. Like, it's I don't know what it is. I feel like every year when E3 comes rolling around, I get like, yeah, it's E3. Yeah, we're going to get some cool stuff, whatever. The industry's dumb and stupid, whatever. And then cool stuff happens.
You know, yeah.
And like, that's what I love. You know, like, I enjoy seeing leaked things and seeing things earlier, whatever. Like, that's cool. But I just love that sometimes they go and they drop nonsense that, like, it doesn't seem like anybody would be excited about, but it seems exciting. Like, I think Microsoft last year coming out on stage and being like, yo, you guys love Gears of War? Let me tell you about these Gears of War
Funko Pops.
Yeah, Funko game. I can't wait for you to enjoy this Gears of War Funko game. You shoot plastic and salt in half. Awesome. I'm never going to play that game, but that was rad that they announced that like that.
Let me set up a mind picture for you guys. All right, so stay with me here. You know when you watch a Final Destination movie, specifically like the second one, and it opens with that scene where they're going onto the highway and the logs snap off the truck and like all the cars are getting hit. And then like a week later or something like that, you're driving and you go onto the highway and you're like looking around because you're expecting something to happen. And maybe nothing happens because, you know, why would it? That's how I feel going into this E3. I'm waiting. Yeah. I'm excited for E3. There's a lot of cool stuff that they're announced. And I'm just sitting here going, this feels like the one where something weird's going to happen. Like something bad's going to happen.
It is the weird one because no one's expecting much, which means something is going to fucking happen. And to give you guys an idea of why I'm already kind of bummed out that I love going to E3 as much as fucking work as it is. Why I think there's gonna be more news than we know of is I'm getting booth tour requests from Nintendo, Microsoft, Bethesda at their stuff.
What is Bethesda gonna have?
Doom Eternal is up on the side of the fig. That's always like the big thing. It's Doom Eternal. I mean, last year was Fallout 76, I think, right?
Yeah.
This year, Doom Eternal. That's one of their big games, but they're also showing the Wolfenstein stuff, and they're gonna we have other stuff. We have predictions for them. So, I'm getting a lot more requests this year, and I'm like, can't go. But I'm forwarding a lot over to Dan. So, hey, Dan. Checking shit out for us. You're gonna go see Cyberpunk 2077. That's not coming out this year. Everything I've been told is all the rumors floating around is not coming out this year. So
I need that game, Dally.
Yeah, that's.
I need that game hooked right directly into my veins.
What? Last of Us 2 is coming out next year. I will say this: the tail end of this fucking generation is looking real good. The end of this year, the fall is already getting stacked up with some really fucking good games. Death Stranding by itself looks really awesome. You got the Medieval coming out, the remaster. You got obviously Call of Duty. You got Jedi Fallen Order. Then you're getting a bunch of Nintendo shit, which if they're showcasing they had their Pokemon press conference a couple days ago, which was Pokemon put me to sleep. Crazy Nintendo. And they have their Pokemon Direct early next week or mid next week, it leads you to believe that Nintendo's going to put a bunch of shit up for the rest of the year. And when Animal Crossing, is that what they're going to talk to? They're not going to spend a half hour talking about Animal Crossing. So I think there's going to be quite a nice amount of reveals at all these events. And they're trying to pull as many people in as possible. So,
Pokemon. Yeah. Every Pokemon game is like formulaic enough that even if you know nothing about Pokemon, you can hold forward and mash the A button and probably mango your way through that game. I think Pokemon Sleep might be the first game that I could not beat. I don't sleep.
Me neither. Pokemon Sleep. I like that. Pokemon Sleep is the first game I won't beat. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of shit this year, and I'm a little bummed. I'm thinking what we do is host an Xbox stream along this year. That's going to be 2 hours of joy. So whoever is available in a week and a half, holy shit, let's do our Xbox live stream Let's plan on that right now. We'll do our drunken live stream on a Sunday afternoon. And maybe we'll do some streams on and off during the that Manic Monday for like Ubisoft or Square Enix or something. We'll figure
what,
it out.
What time is that stream?
With the Xbox One?
Yeah.
It's 4 Eastern.
On what day?
On that Sunday.
On Sunday, I will be able to make the tail end of it, maybe.
Okay. It'll be 2 hours.
I'll be off work at 5 p.m. I'll be off work at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you'll make the majority of the shit.
Yeah.
If you decide to, if you hire on. Otherwise, it'll just be me.
Yeah. No, I'll get there. I'll get off. I'll run home. I'll probably be on, call it a half hour after it starts, probably.
Nice. We'll figure
out. Now, hopefully, Sunday,
I'll be there.
Hopefully, all right. They have a pre-show and they're saying the start time is the pre-show, and then I'll get home and it won't have started yet.
Perfect. Yay. Last year, I think Sam and I were actually in line last year when they announced Sekiro and they announced their biggest shit like at the beginning of the thing, and it was like an hour and a half long presentation last year. Sam, I think you and I were like, we missed that first half hour because we were still in line.
Yeah, they were wrapping up talking about Halo Infinite when we sat down.
That's right. Yeah, we missed Sekiro and Halo Infinite. All good. All right.
One of those games is out.
One of those games is out. The other one will probably be out this year if I have anything. If I'm going to make choices. No, I take that back. I didn't have Halo Infinite. I had Halo 1 on Switch this year. But with that said, let's put a... I don't know. I don't even know what this is. I made a noise. I did this. Let's finish up today's podcast. Sam, you've been awesome as usual.
Oh, I thank you.
Yeah, go do some fun screen resizing in Premiere.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Hey, when you guys go to a sporting event, and I say you guys in general to the listening audience, when you look at a screen. Just know that that's not a giant television. That's not how that works.
Nope.
That's never how that works. And it's actually like way harder to get images on there that look normal. Like you're like, oh, look, they're just playing a YouTube video. Yeah, that YouTube video was probably about 30 minutes worth of work to get on there. So be happy and also enjoy your sporting events going into the summer months of fun.
Love that kiss cam, Sam.
Let's call that pending lawsuit. No, I'm just kidding. No, I, as somebody who enjoys not being put on blast or publicly shamed, I don't like those kind of like, oh, dance for us, monkey, or the crowd's going to go wild. So there will be none of that in my venues. Thank you, sir.
I like when the screens flash and, you know, the music plays. I'm just assuming that's what happens. I don't go to sports games.
Do you like when stats get tracked too?
Oh, you know it.
Yeah, I get filthy with those stats.
I especially, my favorite part is when you go to like a hockey game and it says the scores and then somebody scores a goal and then the number goes up.
Hell yeah.
I would pay upwards of $8 for a ticket to see that.
Nice.
I don't know how much sports tickets cost. Probably not $8.
I don't know. Not too far off, depending on the sport.
Sports games at the arena domes. Where can we find you, Sam?
Nowhere on the internet. Yeah, I have still not returned to the Twitter sphere. So if you want,
we can find you here.
Yeah, if you want to find, you got to come looking for me, and it's right here at this lovely home of sidequesting.com.
Where can we find you, Aaron?
Find me curled up in my bed under a blanket.
Dying.
Because I feel like shit. On Twitch and Twitter, at Scotty Bones.
Yes. You can find me at Dolly Domofsky on those as well. You can find at SideQuesting TV on the Twitch and on the YouTubes. SideQuesting.com, it's a website. And we're officially in the E3 hype train, so... ride along with us because there's so much shit going on right now. With that said, we'll see you guys and gals and animals and whatever else. Peace.
This side trend don't stop. Choo-choo.